We're ready to go. All right. The nuances of Zoom. Welcome, Council, for oral arguments today, October 21st, 2021. Before we proceed and have your case called, I just want to comment on some of the technical difficulties we've had with your case, as well as one preceding this. If for some reason you can't see or hear us, either do a message or wave your hand or call it to my attention. Likewise, if for some reason you go off screen or we have feedback, I will let you know. We'll stop the clock so that you're not eating up your time while we correct those deficiencies. Each of you has appeared before in the Court of Appeals. The same rules apply. You have 15 minutes for a presentation of your case in chief. An additional five minutes will be reserved for appellate rebuttal if you choose to utilize that. Please state your name and indicate which party you're speaking on behalf of before you begin your argument. With that said, I'm going to ask our marshal to call the next case for consideration.
Now calling case number A210187, State of Minnesota versus Jordan Johnson.
Appellate counsel, when you're ready to proceed, you have the floor.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Gabrielle Kiefer, and I represent Ms. Jordan Johnson, a Special Assistant Public Defender to the Office of the Minnesota Appellate Public Defender. This is a case about overreaching, both literally and figuratively. It is about ensuring that police don't overreach to conduct warrantless searches based on ordinary, everyday objects, such as a straw. And it is about ensuring that police don't overreach to justify searches they don't originally have probable cause to conduct, like Officer Longo's search of the vehicle in this case. The district court erred in their assessment of the facts underlying the case, and there is no evidence in the record capable of supporting the district court's findings. I will address both exceptions relied on by the district court in denying Ms. Johnson's motion to suppress, including the underlying evidence in the record, starting first with the plain view exception and then moving to the automobile exception. The plain view exception permits police to, without a warrant, seize an object they believe to be evidence of a crime if three elements are met. First, the police officer has to legitimately be in a position in which they can view the object. Second, they have to have a lawful right of access to the object. And third, and most importantly, the object's incriminating nature must be immediately apparent. This case turns on the third element, whether an ordinary straw alone is sufficient to give rise to probable cause such that its incriminating nature is immediately apparent. State v. Milton tells us that an object's incriminating nature is immediately apparent only if law enforcement have probable cause to believe the item or object is contraband. The court in that case goes on to explain that probable cause exists, quote, where the facts available to the officer will warrant a person of reasonable caution in the belief that certain items may be contraband or stolen property or useful as evidence of the crime. The state's framing of the legal issue in this case is incorrect. The state has argued that Officer Longo need only have a reasonable suspicion in order to conduct his warrantless search. However, Officer Longo was required to have probable cause prior to conducting the search and prior to seizing the straw and then further searching the rest of the vehicle.
Ms. Kiefer, would you agree that in analyzing this, we're to look at, and the trial court was to look at, the totality of the circumstances, and that trained police officers are allowed to make inferences that might escape an untrained person in determining probable cause?
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. This is not a totality of the circumstances case. The only thing at play in this case is the cut orange straw, which was on the floor. And the only thing that could possibly give rise to probable cause in this case was the characteristics of the straw that were visible to Officer Longo at the time he observed the straw.
Weren't those changes to the straw a modified straw? And isn't that part of the awareness that this is not a straw that's for a McDonald's soda, that it is crimped and it's and the officer in his training has noted that these are used for drugs? I mean, this wasn't a plain straw. You're not arguing this is a plain old ordinary straw. It was modified.
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. Although it was a modified straw, the characteristics that the straw was modified were not apparent to Officer Longo at the time that he reached into the vehicle, seized the straw, and began his search. The state admits in their brief that the minute that Officer Longo reached into the vehicle and picked up the straw, Officer Longo conducted a seizure and began his search. At the time Officer Longo observed the straw, the additional characteristics were not visible to Officer Longo, and the record is clear. For example, the record at page 5, line 12 through 15 states, quote, at which time I decided it would be time to bring her out of the vehicle to sight her, and when I did, I saw a cut orange straw. No additional characteristics are included in that description of what Officer Longo saw at the time he observed the straw.
Well, Ms. Kiefer, I'm looking at that transcript, and then on the next page, after describing the straw, the officer was asked, when were you able to make that observation? And the answer was pretty much immediately, I saw what it was, or what I believed it to be at a minimum. That seems to be different than what you're arguing here.
Respectfully, Your Honor, no, it's not different. Although Officer Longo does provide those characteristics in a long list of all of the characteristics, he further goes on to explain that some of the characteristics, including the powder inside the straw, were not visible at the time. He states that the powder was only inside the tube, which would not have been visible to Officer Longo at the time he observed the cut straw on the floor of the vehicle.
Well, this I don't think anybody's disputing that fact. It's whether the characteristics of the straw itself were observable to him. That's the part of the transcript that I was reading from.
Your Honor, the record does not have any facts in it that suggest that Officer Longo, at the time he observed the straw, observed the crimped end. Each time Officer Longo describes what he observed when he observed the straw, he only states that the straw was cut in orange. This is done numerous times in the record. For example, the record at page 6, line 20 through 22, page 5 at 12 through 15, page 7 at 3 through 6. All of these only indicate that the straw was orange and that the straw was cut. Never in Officer Longo's testimony does he state that the additional characteristics of the straw were visible to him at the time that he observed the straw. Furthermore, Officer Longo's report at page 1 says, quote, I had Jordan step out of the vehicle to cite her for trespass. She was initially reluctant to do so. I opened the door of the vehicle for her to step out. When she moved her leg, I noticed a cut orange straw. Nothing in that description provides the additional characteristics that the straw was crimped or had powder in it. These characteristics were only observed by Officer Longo after he removed the straw from the vehicle. I'd like to go through a frame-by-frame analysis to understand exactly what the record supports Officer Longo saw at the time he observed the straw, removed Ms. Johnson from the vehicle, and subsequently conducted the search of the vehicle and the test of the substance inside the tube. In the first frame, Officer Longo approaches the vehicle from the driver's side and subsequently from the passenger side where Ms. Johnson was seated. In this frame, Officer Longo has not yet observed the straw. In frame 2, Officer Longo asked Ms. Johnson to step out of the vehicle. When Ms. Johnson opened the door, the straw was directly underneath her, and it was at that time that Officer Longo observed the straw. The record makes clear that the observations made by Officer Longo at the time he observed the straw was that it was only cut in orange. This is supported by the record at page 6, line 20 through 22, quote, so I asked her to step out of the vehicle and she did. And when she did, I saw the straw on the floor directly underneath her. The record at page 5, line 12 through 15, quote, at which time I decided it would be time to bring her out of the vehicle to sight her. And when I did, I saw a cut orange straw. This, in addition to the record sites at page 7, 3 through 6, support that at the time, again, Officer Longo only observed a cut orange straw, which he himself described as, quote, a normal straw, like what you would drink a slushy out of. See the record at page 6, line 10 through 11.
Let me ask this. If the officer had seen a bong on the floor, would you agree that that would establish probable cause?
Your Honor, that would require a different analysis. A bong is not an ordinary everyday object. Here we are concerned about a straw, which is an ordinary everyday object which is commonly used and commonly encountered in our everyday lives. They are commonly placed on the floor after having a meal in a vehicle or disposed of on the floor, or they slide through the seats. They're commonly on the floor. They're everyday objects. A bong.
Aren't they usually inserted into a cup if they're commonly used for drinking purposes?
Sure. Yes, Your Honor. They can be inserted into a straw cup, but I know that when I go through a drive-thru, sometimes I don't end up using that straw and it ends up on the floor. Children chew on straws. They have juice pouches that have cut ends to puncture the juice pouch. Oftentimes, those don't end up in the trash can in the car. They end up on the floor after the child disposes of them after playing with them. These are common everyday objects. It's not, respectfully, Your Honor, it's not a bong, which we know can only be used for drug purposes. This is a straw.
But isn't the experience of the officer in dealing with situations important in the analysis, where you have not just an ordinary straw, but a cut straw?
No, Your Honor, not when the only indication of criminal activity is the cut straw alone. Where courts have found that a straw in connection with additional indication of criminal activity, such as party balloons or powdery substance on the seat, yes, sure, there might be additional indications of that. However, a straw alone with no other indications of criminal activity is an ordinary object, and that does not give rise to probable cause. Other courts have found that ordinary objects are not, and this court has found that ordinary objects are not sufficient to give rise to probable cause. For example, in State versus Stuckley, this court held that, quote, empty plastic baggies are not items that by their mere presence give police probable cause to seize them when discovered in plain view. I would argue that plastic baggies are much less common than straws. Plastic baggies that aren't the size of a sandwich or a snack baggie are less common than a straw, which we encounter in our everyday lives at least once. Other states have specifically held that cut straws alone are insufficient to give rise to probable cause. This includes Ohio and Florida. Ohio, in State versus Brodus, held, quote, we have found no legal authority in Ohio that has held that a straw, even a short one, is so associated with criminal activity that its presence alone constitutes probable cause for its seizure as drug paraphernalia. Where straws have been lawfully seized as drug paraphernalia, other indica of criminal activity were also present. Florida has followed suit. In State versus Malinasi, the court said, quote, although cut straws are often used in drug activity, they are not in and of themselves sufficient to constitute probable cause for a search. Anderson versus State, another Ohio case, which is factually similar to the case before you, stated, quote, in the instant case, however, the only indication of criminal activity the officer observed while outside the vehicle was a small cut straw. It is clear from the testimony that the trooper saw what appeared to him to be cocaine residue only after he stepped into the trailer and picked up the straw. Here, the only thing visible to Officer Longo at the time he observed the straw, reached into the vehicle, and seized the straw was the cut orange nature. Only after, like in Anderson versus State, he reached into the vehicle and removed the straw, did he observe the additional characteristics. Furthermore, Anderson versus State distinguished itself from State versus Texas, which the district court heavily relied on in reaching its decision. Anderson versus State noted the distinction between State versus Texas and the present case. In State versus Texas, there were various other indications of criminal activity that the officer observed prior to conducting the search of the vehicle. They included a tied party balloon, a bag of open party balloons, white vials of powdery substance, and white powdery substance all over the seat. In that case, there were various other circumstances that gave the officer a totality of the circumstances analysis to give rise to probable cause. Here, all we have is the cut orange straw, which the officer asserts to rely on in justifying his probable cause. There was no probable cause based on an ordinary everyday straw. And because of this, the plain view exception fails. The automobile exception also requires that police have probable cause in order to search a vehicle. Again, there is no probable cause based on an ordinary, everyday straw. Perhaps Commonwealth Garcia, a Massachusetts Court of Appeals case, sums it up best. Quote, benign objects such as spoons, mirrors, and straws are often used in the narcotic trade. To allow police officers to conduct a warrantless search whenever they observe one of the items and nothing more will permit random searches, which are condemned by the Fourth Amendment and the Declaration of Rights.
Well, so Ms. Kiefer, let me ask you this. If this court did not agree with your analysis on the plain view seizure of the straw and the subsequent observations of powdery substance inside the straw, would that additional information amount to probable cause to support the automobile exception search?
No, Your Honor, because the record is devoid of any facts on which a reasonable basis for finding that could be sustained. The record does not have any facts indicating that Officer Longo observed those facts. And under the clear error standard, no reasonable person could find that Officer Longo had probable cause at the time.
I don't think that was my question. My question was, if this court were to find that the seizure of the straw and the subsequent observations of it in terms of the presence of what appeared to be controlled substance, if that was a legitimate seizure, then would that support the subsequent search under the automobile exception?
No, Your Honor, because the search began the minute Officer Longo reached into the vehicle and seized the straw.
You're not following my question. I'm giving you a hypothetical. If we get beyond the plain view seizure and what was observed as a result of that, would there then be probable cause to search the vehicle?
Your Honor, apologies for not understanding your question. If there were the additional indications, including the crimped edge, the powder substance, and the cut straw all on the floor invisible to Officer Longo prior to conducting the search? Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Kiefer, your time has expired, but you'll have the 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Thank you.
Respondent counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Peter Magnuson. I'm an assistant attorney general and I represent the respondent state of Minnesota. After the contested omnibus hearing below, the matter was set up for the judge as a straightforward credibility determination. In his memo to the district court, which is document number 15, the defense argued that the automobile exception doesn't apply because, quote, a cut straw, close quote, by itself didn't give Officer Longo probable cause to search the vehicle. Nowhere in the memo is any mention made of Officer Longo's testimony that the straw was also melted and crimped. The state's response, which is document number 16, the state argued that Longo in fact testified that he saw that the straw was not only cut, but it had a melted and crimped end, and that he made that observation immediately. Based on his training and experience, the straw then gave Officer Longo the belief that it was drug paraphernalia used to snort narcotics, which then gave him a basis to pick up the straw, see what he suspected was methamphetamine inside, and thereafter search the vehicle. In its decision, the district court sided with the state's version of events. The district court specifically found, and this is in paragraph 6 of page 2, when the defendant exited the vehicle, Officer Longo observed a cut orange straw, then goes on to note one end of the straw was melted and crimped. In Officer Longo's experience and training, persons who have straws like this often use them to snort narcotics. Based on that explicit finding, the district court went on to find that the Officer Longo was justified in searching the vehicle. So the issue here today is, on the standard of review, was the district court's finding clearly erroneous? And the answer to that is obviously no. Yes, there is questions posed to appellant's counsel have noted. On page 7, there's a discussion about the melted and crimped end, and the state asks, does it mean anything to you that one end was melted? Then goes on page 8, line 3, when were you able to make that observation? And the response, pretty much immediately. I saw what it was, or what I believed it to be, at a minimum. You can't just ignore that evidence in the record. It's there, and it supports the district court's finding. Therefore, the district court's finding is not clearly erroneous. This court must defer to it, because this court doesn't make credibility determinations. It leaves that for the district court. The district court made that credibility call here. Defense or appellant's burden now is to convince you that it's clearly erroneous. And just by pointing to other evidence in the record that goes the other way is insufficient. That's just asking this court to retry the facts. The issue is there evidence that supports the district court's finding? There is. And that's simply the end of the story right there. If the court has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But deferring to the officer's experience and training, the legal conclusion is straightforward. The factual determination is straightforward as well. So I'd simply ask the court to affirm the district court below.
Thank you, Mr. Magnuson. Ms. Kiefer, back to you.
Thank you. It may please the court. Appellant is not asking the court to weigh the evidence. Rather, we are asking that the court look at the record and observe that it is completely devoid of facts sufficient to show that Officer Longo observed the cut straw and nothing more prior to conducting the search. The record at page 8, lines 7 through 9 says, quote, after I had her step out of the vehicle, I'd already detained her. I went ahead and looked at what it was and saw that there was substance in it. This is after he's had Ms. Johnson step out of the vehicle and after he's removed the straw from the vehicle. This is not sufficient to give rise to probable cause prior to conducting the search. Officer Longo was required to have probable cause prior to reaching into the vehicle and seizing the straw. The state had the burden of creating a record that supported the exceptions relied on, and the district court did not have facts sufficient to base its findings on. Furthermore, the search began the minute the officer reached into the vehicle, seized the straw, and again, the state concedes this in their response brief at page 10. Quote, as a result, based on his training and experience, Officer Longo had probable cause to believe the cut straw was drug paraphernalia as soon as he saw it. Accordingly, he could legitimately seize it without a warrant. And when he seized the straw, Officer Longo observed what he reasonably believed to be drug residue inside the straw. Again, the additional characteristics were not known to Officer Longo at the time he observed the straw. It was only after he removed the straw from the vehicle and observed the additional characteristics did he have probable cause. Furthermore, although officers may rely on their experience, that does not give them the permission to believe that any ordinary object could be used for criminal activity. Perhaps any ordinary object, if finagled in the correct way, could be used as paraphernalia or for drug use. But to permit officers to conduct searches based on ordinary objects that may be used for legitimate legal purposes at any time they encounter them would eradicate the Fourth Amendment. And this is why we expect more from officers, even if they are relying on their experience, to not conduct searches based on ordinary objects. Respectfully, there is nothing in the record that gave the district court basis for its findings, and accordingly, this court should reverse the district court's findings, denying Ms. Johnson's motions to suppress. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both attorneys for appearing today. The matters were well briefed and the arguments are helpful in our deliberation. The matters are submitted and a decision will be issued in the statutory timeframe. Thank you for appearing.